You are listening to KTEC 89.5 FM Klamath Falls. My name is Dominic Stone. I am the KTEC station manager, and I am here today on behalf of Top Tech Opportunities Program celebrating First Generation Students Week. And we are doing an interview series. If you're just now tuning in, we have a schedule on our website. This is interview number 4 of the week. And today we have Sam Thatch. Sam, you want to say hi?
Hello, my name is Sam.
All right. nice to have you here. We were just chatting a little bit before the show started. I know I already asked you this, but so we can have it on record, what is your major and you're in school?
I am a fifth year and I am a data science major.
Cool. And then do you want to tell us a little bit about data science? Because I think that's a little bit more unique to Oregon Tech.
Yeah, there aren't very many undergrad data science programs. Most of the time they are master's or above.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was started by Peter and Rosanna Overholser, which have left 2 years ago.
Wait, they started that program?
They were the power couple who started it.
I took stats or math, whatever, 456 with him. I thought he was a super nice guy.
But basically, I like to say data science is kind of someone who knows stats, knows some database systems analysis, but can also specialize in machine learning or AI. We are required to take 2 AI classes, normally our junior year, but unfortunately this year they're teaching the second one, but I don't know if they're teaching the first one. But I asked the juniors and they said none of them have taken the first one.
Everybody only takes the second one?
Yeah, hopefully they figure that out. They still have time.
Interesting.
But yeah, we can do AI, we can do stats, we can do databases. So we learn SQL, we learn database analysis, systems analysis as well. That's a little about data science.
Cool. Well, I guess getting right into the meaty interview questions. Why do you go to school? Why do you want to go to school and why do you continue to?
My family's poor. My parents are immigrants from Vietnam. So my mom's Vietnamese, but my dad is ethnically Chinese. But he was born in Vietnam and China wouldn't let them back in. I'm not sure why. My sisters went to college. And at first I thought because they graduated, I wasn't first gen, but I learned that I was.
Yep.
So my freshman year here, when they were doing this weekend, the first generation appreciation thing, I didn't go to it because I didn't think I was first gen.
Oh, wait, so you just found out about that you were first gen this year?
Like last year.
Oh, last year. Okay.
But I mainly want to be able to graduate and get a job that can help out my family. Mm-hmm. Since my mom raised us all alone, she raised 4 kids. In Southern California and she didn't graduate college either because first gen. So she didn't get paid much and I want to give back to her when I graduate.
Yeah. Well said. Great answer. Well, tell us a little bit, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but a little bit about your background, like where you're from, where you grew up, what you did as a kid, how that led here.
I'm from Southern California, Orange County. So I live near Disneyland and every now and then I could see fireworks for free.
Nice.
But at the same time, traffic's really bad because a lot of tourists.
Yep.
But we grew up in Westminster, California, or we called it Little Saigon because it was basically how some cities have Koreatown or Chinatown. It was Vietnam Town or Little Saigon. The high school I went to was like 97 or 96% Vietnamese.
Really?
Yeah. So everyone was super smart to the point where I thought my scores were really bad. And that was a common trend with my friends in high school. They always felt like they were dumb comparing to someone else.
Yeah.
Because there'd be students who would get like 1490 on their SAT and would be complaining that it was too low.
Jeez.
Or students with like a 4.3 GPA. My friend group was, we thought we were average because we would be like 3.3 GPA with like a 1300 SAT.
Mm-hmm.
But coming here, I learned that that's not the same for everyone. So Because I grew up, this might sound a little, I guess, racist, but I never grew up around a white community.
Mm.
So a lot of stuff here when I came to Klamath Falls was different. Like the first time I went to Dairy Queen was here.
Really?
The first time I went to a Taco Bell was here. First time I went to Dutch Bros was here. And this is a SoCal thing, but we also don't have Fred Meyers. So the first time I saw Fred Meyers was here.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's a little about me from SoCal. Grew up kind of poor. Grew up in a Vietnamese community. So yeah.
Interesting. How many people went to the high school that you went to?
It actually, I think, is more people than come to the K Falls campus. I think we had like 2,500 students.
Oh my gosh.
But we were very underfunded, and you could really tell because our textbooks didn't even have 9/11 in it. For our history textbooks.
Jeez.
And our campus size was about a quarter of Klamath campus.
Wow. That is a lot of people in a very small space.
Yeah. Our parking lot was probably the size of Snell Hall, just the footprint.
It's like 50 cars could fit in it. Oh,
and
my
it was
gosh.
Basically just the teachers that parked.
What were the class sizes like? Like 40, 50 people?
They'd be in the 40s, yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. I went to a sort of large school, but not like that. I think my high school had like 1,600 people. And then comparing that to a lot of places in like rural Oregon where class sizes are like 20 or 40 for a graduating class. So that's crazy.
Yeah, my friends who go to, they graduated, but they went to UC Riverside down in SoCal as well. But their class sizes, they would tell me, would be in the hundreds.
Wow.
Because of how big their university was.
Yeah. That's something that they touch on in CSET recruiting presentations a lot, is like how big other classes at any other school are compared to here and a lot of other small colleges. You mentioned that coming in Klamath Falls, you experienced a lot of things you hadn't before. What surprised you coming here, but also and as just like a first generation college student, like more the academic side of that as well?
So the non-academic side, a lot of the things I learned was I tried tomato soup for the first time
when I
came here with grilled cheese, because I never grew up eating tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because I would just eat my mom's Vietnamese cooking. So I just was surprised at tomato soup because I thought it was just ketchup.
Oh.
And then the academic side, this school was actually very similar to my high school. I don't know if that means this school is quite close to high school or my high school was quite close to college.
Like with the stuff you're being taught, or what do you mean?
Like the environment, like being really close to your professors, having class sizes not in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And I guess some of the classes being taught are very similar. My trig classes I took my first year. I never showed up to class. I would skip it to go to work.
Yeah.
But I think I got like a 98 or something. Because it was classes I technically already took. I just didn't pass the math placement exam.
Mm.
So that was very similar. The writing was also quite similar. Because my senior year of high school, we were being taught how to write multi-page reports already.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite similar. But there are some things that are different, like the variety of classes. My school had very few electives for high school.
Oh.
So the electives there were like Photoshop and Java coding and some business stuff, like how to sell a product type of thing. But this school has a lot of electives that you could take, like a lot of different humanities, like philosophy.
Yeah.
I do enjoy those classes. I was required to take an ethics class, but I do like that I had to take it because it was quite interesting.
Hmm. Interesting.
So yeah, just class variety is something I was surprised about.
Yeah, that's understandable. Something I wish they had more of here is art electives.
Oh yeah.
I would really enjoy it because there have been some terms where I'm a transfer student, so a lot of my credits are like, they're just kind of messed up. And so many terms I'll have a pretty low class load and I'll need to take an elective. And if there was something like, I don't know, there's only like four or five to choose from, really. It's like two painting classes, two drawing classes.
Yeah. And then every now and then there's a language class, but it depends on what professor wants to teach it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is That's kind of the double-edged sword of OIT compared to a lot of schools, because it's like such a technical program-focused school that there's not really a lot of room for other art electives or like non-tech electives, which, I mean, is good if you're just trying to go through and, you know, knock out what you need to, but for every other time, it can be a little inconvenient.
Yeah, one thing I do like that they added this year is the registration page on like Tech for Student or Web for Student.
Oh, like the reminder?
Not the reminder, but the thing that says 2-year projected course list that they added.
Wait, what? I'm not aware of this.
It's on, so if you go to Web for Student and then go to your student menu and then registration, it's at the bottom and it has like asterisks on the site that says new or something. And it has a projected course list for the next 2 years.
Oh, I will have to check that out. I didn't. Did you just find out about that, or was it advertised?
I found out about that a week or two ago when I was updating my timesheet and just clicked on registration on accident. And I see on the bottom there's projected course list.
Interesting. I'll check that out. Any of you out there listening that go to OIT, you should also check that out because that sounds really helpful. Speaking of our listeners, though, we are a radio station. We specialize in music. Do you have a favorite song that maybe you'd like to play?
Yes, I do like the song from, I think, A Great Big World, and it's Say Something.
Yep, let's see, A Great Big World featuring Christina Aguilera on the 2014 album, Is There Anybody Out There? Let's check it out. Here it is.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. I'll be the one if you want me to. Anywhere I would have followed you. Sorry that I couldn't get
something.
All right, that was Say Something by Christina Aguilera, by A Great Big World. So we are still here with Sam Thatch, if you're just now tuning in, for First Generation Students Week interviews on behalf of the Tech Opportunities Program. Now, Sam, we were talking about just kind of some differences that you'd noticed and similarities between where you'd lived before and coming to school here. Among those people, among other first-gen students, and kind of looking back on a couple of years when you first came here, what was some common struggles you noticed between yourself, first-gen students, and just regular first-gen or not students?
So I don't normally ask people if they're first-gen because that feels kind of weird to just bring up. I don't know who of my friends are first-gen.
Okay.
And I don't really know. I don't remember anyone who was like first gen because, like I said, I don't ask.
Yeah.
But so I can't compare myself to them.
Fair enough.
But a couple of struggles I had my first year when I came here was just moving here in the first place.
Yeah. From Southern California. That's pretty long ways.
I had to stay with my sister who lived in Sacramento for 3 months beforehand. And then she helped me move in because, like, my parents couldn't take the days off. I also did flight school, so I moved in early as well. Another struggle I had was just money. I not just in terms of funding myself, like being able to buy food and stuff. I had work study, and I did not know this until my work study ended this year, but I could have applied for SNAP, and I didn't know that. So for like 3 years, I did not get to use SNAP.
Oh, man.
I applied this year, and they approved me for $11 a month.
Wow. Huge grant for you there.
Better than nothing. But
I guess,
they haven't responded. I sent my documents in. Another thing was I wasn't educated very well on financial aid. I knew how to apply. I knew the process. I did not know about overborrowing. So I overborrowed for quite a few years.
Wait, I don't know about overborrowing either. What is that?
They offer you a loan amount that is most likely greater than what you need. But you don't know it, but like you're not aware of it. So like I probably borrowed, probably 1.5 times as much as I probably needed to just get through the school, with my jobs. So that was one thing I wasn't aware of, that the amount they offer you is more than what you would probably need. So I probably should have taken less. And then other struggles was, this is a cultural one. I mentioned that I grew up in a Vietnamese community, and it is cravings for my culture's food, but not having any good like Asian grocery store anywhere nearby. There is the one in Medford that I did visit, but when I did, I was quite disappointed because it was mostly like shelf stable foods you can get on Amazon. Wherein I wanted to get like greens and vegetables. So that was one thing, a cultural difficult or cultural struggle.
There's not any Vietnamese restaurants that I know of in town either, are there?
No, there used to be one, a pho restaurant by Walmart that I think closed when COVID started and became, I was told by my friend, it became a food cart that is by, it's on South 6th Street. They have a little food cart. I'm not sure if they're Vietnamese. They do make pho. But their other foods, I'm not very familiar with.
I know there's a cart that hangs out in that area called Heavenly Thai. They're around here a lot.
Yeah, I think the one I'm thinking of is called Fu Wong's.
Fu Wong's.
F-U-O-N-G.
Okay. I haven't heard of... Oh, wait. F-U-O-N-G. I feel like I have seen that somewhere before. That seems familiar. Have you ever been there?
I did take out once for some... I think I did fried rice. Because I think 2 years ago, I became fully vegetarian.
Oh.
Before, it used to be because I was just super picky. Like, I did not want to eat meat. Hmm. Like, it would make me gag for some reason.
Really?
Like, fresh, like, meat that you would cook on a pan. But things, like, that are really processed and unhealthy, like a nugget, I would eat.
Funny how that works.
But, like, 2 years ago, I just stopped eating meat. And I've stayed that way.
That's cool. Back to our questions here. How did you... Well, what made you want to go into data science?
I was in CSET. So I'll start with why I left CSET, because that was one reason as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was a CSET major at first because I thought it would be kind of cool. I was like that young... I was like that high school kid that thought, oh, video games.
I'll make
cool.
video games, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And then I got hit with the harsh reality of I hate C++. and I hate memory leaks.
Oh, yep.
So I moved over to data science, which I still had to take C++ for like another year, which was fine because then we moved over to Python and R.
R?
R is a statistic. R is a coding language created by statisticians.
Oh.
It's similar to Python, but it's more in line with what a statistician would want.
Okay.
On the side note, one funny thing is that Python, we use it to do machine learning and big data stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it is one of the languages that's really bad at managing data.
Really?
Yeah. If Joseph Reed ever comes back, the professor, he's on a leave of absence right now for internship stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he also mentioned that to me, and it was quite funny.
That's funny.
But back to why I switched majors. CSET again, I also did not feel like I fit in with the people.
Mm.
Like, there is a type of person that goes into a major.
Yes.
Like, there's a stereotype, and
definitely.
That stereotype is somewhat based on truth in terms of, like, our majors. And I felt like I couldn't fit in with them. So I moved over to data science. It was a brand new major my sophomore year, first year. I think it opened the year after cybersecurity.
Okay.
Was what it was. So no one's graduated from it yet.
Really?
So I should be the first one to, hopefully, the first one to graduate from this, unless there's another data science senior I don't know about.
You're the only senior in data science?
Yeah. I was supposed to graduate last year, but I had some personal issues that caused me to drop classes and stuff.
Okay.
But I guess this is doing 5 years is fine because it's less stressful as well.
Yeah.
Which I like about that new Oregon law that our colleges are standardizing their names and credit amounts.
Yes. Yeah. Makes it a lot easier.
I think mine is like 198 credits.
Okay.
And I think the standardized one, I think they changed it to 190 or 180. I forget which.
Yeah. I think it's 180 something.
Yeah. So that would be basically a whole term, like, gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I moved over to data science, and then I also moved over to it because I quite liked the overholsters, and they're really nice. They're really kind.
They are.
So unfortunate that they're gone.
Yeah.
But another reason was the pay was really good. I saw that the website said, I think it was like 8% job growth I forget which year. It was like 2030 or 2025 or something.
Yeah, I think they usually list them 10 years out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was quite a good job growth. And I also like the idea of AI stuff. At the time, I didn't know about that I would be taking machine learning classes and that it was related to AI.
Mm-hmm.
But my second year in the major, so my third year, is when I learned that, oh, I'm going to be taking this. That's cool. And then the year after is when all that ChatGPT stuff started coming out, and everyone started using it to do homework. They probably shouldn't have.
Yep.
But yeah, that's basically the reasons why I moved from CSET to data science.
Hmm. Well, yeah, you're right that a certain type of person will typically occupy a certain major.
Yeah, one of the juniors that I met this year, because I didn't know of any of the other data science students until this year.
Yeah.
When four of us coincidentally are in the same class. So like 4/5 of the major.
Yeah.
One of them has long hair like me.
Yeah.
So I guess there is a type.
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to tell from that small of a sample size.
Yeah, it's just a sample size of four and
yeah.
two.
Yeah, I am in CSET. I'm in embedded systems. And even between the three, you know, subcategories, embedded software and hardware, it's like even between those three, the people are so different, but they all, you know, all the embedded people, we all get along, we're all the same. There's not as many computer people. They're pretty similar to embedded, but then the software people, they like each other all in their own way. Like, they're a totally different breed of person entirely. And you can tell if you're sitting in a room with embedded people and software people, you can tell who's who. We got time for about one more question here, and I'm thinking, how do you maintain a good perspective when things get tough? That could be life, school, I don't know, broader topics even than that.
I go to the health center's counseling, since they have unlimited sessions.
Yeah.
So I go to them. They help me out when I'm feeling really low. But if it's more like a setback, like the one I mentioned to you off during the break, family. I message my family every now and then.
That's
good. And friends. Friends help as well. And then I'm not someone who de-stresses by working out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like working out.
Yeah.
It just makes me tired. But I like watching shows to de-stress and to lift my spirits up.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Do you have any favorites?
So I watched The Simpsons a lot.
Ah, yes.
When junior year, the last time I lived on campus, my roommates would say that they would know I wasn't there if The Simpsons wasn't playing.
You're a lifer.
I would use it as background noise, basically.
Yep.
So I've watched all episodes multiple times up to the end of season 27.
Have you seen the newest Treehouse of Horrors that came out?
I haven't, no.
I haven't watched it either.
The newer seasons, I can't really stand how Marge's voice, actor's voice has, like, it just feels like she's so tired.
Did they get a new actor, or is she just getting old?
It's the same actor. And I think she is getting old, but also I feel like doing Marge's voice for like 20-something years will ruin your voice.
Probably does. Yeah, understandable. All right, well, we're closing in on 4:30 here. Do you have any final words or comments that maybe we didn't get to cover that you'd like to go over?
Don't think so, no.
All right. Well, Sam, thank you very much for being here with us today. This has been First Generation Student Week interviews on KTEC 89.5 FM here in Klamath Falls, Oregon, at the Oregon Institute of Technology. Thank you for putting these together. And if you'd like to tune in to the rest of our interviews, we're doing three more this week, I think. Our schedule is on our website at ktec895.com in our blog section. It's like the first post right now. Thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful day, everybody.